Welcome everyone to Cafe One tonight. I'm Hayley, for those of you that don't know me. We're looking tonight at this question behind me. So how should we react when God doesn't answer our prayers in the way we expect? I wonder if you could turn to your partner actually, or someone you're sat next to, and discuss this question. So how do you react when God doesn't answer your prayers in the way you expect him to? Maybe have a little quick discussion and then we'll be back in a minute. So have a little chat.
So what should I look forward to do? What's best to do in that situation?
Yeah. Great. Anyone else?
Rachel, you said that it's like some petty things, it's like, oh, it's a stupid thing to pray for, but sometimes you're kind of like disappointed in something quite big or something that has a big impact in your life.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
We said that maybe you might doubt.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Confusion as well,
which I thought was a helpful.
That's really helpful, yeah.
Great, yeah. Sharif, we reflected on the fact that if you ask God, it's hard to think of God asking for in a way you don't expect, because you're still looking for God in the way you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So actually, it's hard to see the answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really helpful, yeah. Brilliant, thank you. So these up here are some of the suggested reactions that we might have. So we might question God's existence. Does he exist at all then if he's not going to answer my prayer in the way I want him to? We might question his love, or does he care about me? Does he want what's best for me, or does he care about my situation? We might question his sovereignty, so which means if he's in control of everything, is he in control of everything? Does he know everything? Maybe he isn't. We might stop praying because we haven't got the answer we wanted, so we think, oh, that doesn't work, I'll just give up. We might get angry with him too because something hasn't happened the way we expect it to. Well, just so you know where we're going this evening, we're going to look through what is prayer. We're going to look at why we should pray and how we should pray. And then we're going to look at the Bible to see what God is like, look at his characteristics and how that helps us to understand our question today. So how should we react when it seems God doesn't answer our prayer? We're going to hear a testimony too of someone who, of Jen, you know, all know her, of how a time when God has answered her prayer but in a different way to how she expected. And then we're going to discuss a scenario together in groups. So that's where we're going. So let's crack on. What is prayer then? So prayer, at a very simple level, is speaking to God. So like with a family member or a friend, people you love, you want to stay in touch with them and you want to speak to them. So you do, you speak to them and you get to know them better. And similarly, when you're in a relationship with God, you want to speak to him and you want to talk to him and get to know him better. And that's really at the heart of what prayer is. It's speaking to God. Why should we pray then? So you might have wondered if God is sovereign and he's in control of absolutely everything, then why do we need to? Because surely he knows the answer before you've even asked him what you're going to pray about. So why should we pray? Well, he is in control, and we're going to see a bit more of that later when we look at God's characteristics. And actually, in fact, he doesn't need us to do anything for him at all. But because God is gracious and he loves us and he wants a relationship with us, he graciously includes us in his plans, and he uses our prayers for his plans and purposes. It's also a way that helps us to depend and trust in God, because we don't even know what's going to happen in the next hour or the next day, let alone in the future. But God does, and so we can trust him for his plans and his purposes and depend completely on him. So what should we pray for? I wonder how many of us look to God as if he's a bit of a genie in a lamp. So when we pray to him, we kind of go, oh dear God, please can I have good exam results? Or dear God, please can I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? And now, not that there's anything wrong with asking for those things at all, but Jesus shows us what our priorities should be when we pray. So maybe we can turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's on page
970.
It's going to come up on the screen, so if you can't find it, don't worry too much, because it is up here. Okay, so let's look at the first half of the prayer together. So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I wonder if you noticed that the first three points of this prayer aren't actually about us at all. So not the genie in the bottle type prayers, not please Lord can I have this, but actually they're unsurprisingly all about God. They're all about how we make his name holy. That's what the word hallowed means. And then it talks about his kingdom. I wonder if you know what his kingdom means. Well, kingdom means having a relationship with God, which we can experience now, because if we're trusting in Jesus for what he's done for us by dying on the cross in our place and taking away our sins, then we can trust him for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's living under his kingdom. So we can have that now if we're trusting in Jesus. We can be part of his kingdom now. There's also a future kingdom to come as well. We're waiting for when Jesus will come back and when we will be with him forever in eternity. So there's also too a future kingdom which we can look forward to if we're trusting in Jesus. And then the next part of the prayer, so your will be done on earth as in heaven. And this is asking God that people who aren't yet in his kingdom will come into his kingdom, and that they'll turn they'll repent and turn, which is turning away from living for ourselves and turning to God and come into his kingdom. And so as a result, we'll be living then under his obedience and his rule on this earth. Now let's look at the next part of the prayer. So give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive others, and lead us not into temptation. So notice how it's only now that the prayer then turns to us and what we need while we wait for the kingdom. So give us today our daily bread is straightforward. It's really what we need while we wait. So what we need each day. Forgiveness of our sins. So we continually need to always be reminded that we need forgiveness for our sins. We mess up all the time. We always turn away from God each day. And so it's a constant reminder that we need to be depending on him for the forgiveness of our sins. And then lastly, helping us to avoid temptation. So our prayers should then reflect not the things of this world, but actually they should reflect the kingdom that we are waiting for and the kingdom that's to come. Examples of kingdom prayers might be this. So you might ask God to help you to invite friends to church or to 41. It might be asking God that they will know this kingdom, so that they'll know Jesus personally for themselves. Or it might be thankfulness to God for who he is and what he's done. This has been a real challenge to me this week as I've reflected on my prayer life. I've had to ask myself, how kingdom-focused are my prayers? How much are my prayers about me? And how much are they about what's his kingdom, which is now, but also which is to come? So how much are they about my relationship with God? And I wonder if you've ever thought of that as well. It's worth asking yourself, how kingdom-focused are my prayers? Are they all about me? Or are they about my relationship with God? But what about other things? What about when it looks like God hasn't answered our prayers? For example, when a friend is sick and you ask for healing, maybe. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to look at the characteristics of God, something, not all of them, because we don't have time for that. And we're going to go very briefly through them and to see what God is like and how that helps us then, to how it shapes how we should react when God, it seems, hasn't answered our prayers. That's why we played the game about reactions, because it's all about looking at how we react to God. We are going to go through this very quickly, by the way, so bear with. So first of all, God is sovereign. In Psalm 50, it says this: "The mighty one, God, the Lord speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets." God knows absolutely everything. He's in utter control of everything. He even knows when the sun's going to rise and when it's going to set, and he has complete control over that. And so he knows all things and is in complete control. God is good and perfect. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says this: "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So he's good and perfect, and he has a plan and a purpose for each of us that love him. God loves us. In John 3:16, it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God loves us so much that he wants a relationship with us, that he sent his only Son into the world so that we can have a relationship with him. Incredible. That's how much he loves us. And he was prepared to die for us as well. And fourth, he cares about the details of our lives. So because he loves us so much, he cares about us. He cares about what happens in our lives. 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." And then lastly, his timing is perfect. And in Revelation 6, verse 11, there are those who are with God who cry out to him and ask, how long will it be till he judges the earth? And God says to them that they're told to wait a little longer. So his timing in everything, he's in control of everything, he knows when everything's going to happen, and his timing is right and it's good. So how does this help us with understanding why God may not answer our prayers in the way we expect? Well, I hope you can see that knowing what the Bible tells us about God means that we can trust him. He's a God that we can rely on because of all of his characteristics. I hope you can see that we can trust him, that he's in control. So he's not just in control of us, but he's actually in control of the whole world and everyone in it. So we're completely safe in his hands. We can trust him for his will and purpose for us. So his plans are the best plans, and so we can be assured that what he wants is the best thing for us, and ultimately what will glorify him the most as well. We can trust him for his timing. We have to remember that God's timing is perfect, not our timing, but his. So we may have to wait a little while before our prayer is answered. So it might be that God is saying, yes, it's a yes to your prayers, but just not yet. Just wait a little while. And we can trust him because we know he loves us. And we've seen how much God loves us through sending his son Jesus to die for us. And that love doesn't change. It doesn't go away. And that he lovingly, we can know that he lovingly wants the best thing for us. And if he loves us this much, then we can trust him that he's going to take care of us. So with each of our prayers, we can know that God is in control. We can know that he loves us and he wants the best thing for us. And he'll answer our prayers, but maybe not in the way we expect. And it might not be what we think is the best thing, but he does, and we have to trust him for that. We're going to hear now from Jen, who's going to tell us about a time when God didn't answer her prayers in the way she expected.
There's so much that could be said about prayer and God answering prayer. And I'm sure if you spoke to any of the other leaders, they'd have examples too of times when they've prayed and things haven't worked out quite the way they thought. But I had to think about this and thought maybe one that maybe relates to what some of you are going to be thinking about soon or are thinking about at the moment was when I applied to go to university. So when I was 17, which it was in October 2004, I applied to go to university. My interest was medical. From the age of 10, I'd wanted to be a midwife. And then as I went further through school, I realised that actually I could apply to do medicine and do the obs and gynae, which is the doctor version of that. So I got my predicted grades and applied to 4 schools of medicine. And then I remember praying a lot during the next 8 months, because between October and the April of 2005, the no's gradually came through. So I didn't get a single interview. I didn't get any opportunity at all to show that I could do the course and show how keen I was to do it. And to be honest, I couldn't understand why God wasn't answering my prayers with a big fat yes. I thought, you know, I can do this. It's the only thing that I can imagine doing. It's all I've wanted to do. What do you expect me to do? This is my life. It's everything I've been working for. And the whole point, like at school, you know, your teachers are saying, you know, you need these good grades, how are you going to get the job you want, you know, and that's what I wanted to do. And here I was, having worked, done all the work at school, and the answer was no. So God had answered my prayers, but not with the yes that I was expecting. And the door, you know, that I'd pushed was pretty firmly closed. So then I had to work out what I was going to do, and I did. I ended up going through clearing on results day and going into pharmacy, which was a subject I knew pretty much nothing about. So I went to UEA in Norwich. I decided for various reasons not to reapply for medicine, partly on advice from other people. And so sometimes we have these situations and God says no and we don't really get to find out why that was the case. We never fully understand why God has allowed us to experience something that's sad or difficult. Other times we can look back later on and see what God was doing. And there are a few things that I can see now, looking back, that God was doing. So firstly, at the time that I was applying for university, I was dating AJ. And I truly believe that if I had done medicine, we wouldn't be together now. I was a bit of a perfectionist at the time. I worked very, very hard, probably too hard, at the expense of other things. And I think if I'd done medicine, I would have become so wrapped up in it that I wouldn't have had time for AJ. It was hard enough as it was when we went through uni and we were doing long distance relationship. I also ended up at the same university as my best friend, Tor. Funnily enough, neither of us had planned to go to UEA, but it was a godsend, literally, that we did. I was very, very, very homesick when I first went to uni, and it made me quite unwell, and she was a huge blessing and help to me. And then later on at university, she was dealing with some pretty major things, and she struggled with an eating disorder. And because I knew her background and we'd been friends for so long, I was able to help her and counsel her through that with the Bible. And there are many other things that God taught me at university as well that perhaps I wouldn't have learnt had I been doing medicine. And also, he's used my career since. So my career is much more flexible than if I had been a medic. So 12-hour shifts that I'd be doing, at least I would not be serving in the church the way I've been able to. I wouldn't be able to support AJ, and quite honestly I probably wouldn't be having this baby now. So, you know, God is completely sovereign, as Hayley was saying in the talk. He's completely sovereign and in complete control over all our lives and all the details of it. And he has plans for us. They just might not be the plans that we think they should be. Sometimes they're very similar to what we have planned, and God says yes and opens those doors. And other times he says no. And that's because he knows what's best for us. And I'm glad that we had Romans 8:28 up there, because I love that verse, and that's been a real comfort to me at times, to remember that God is always working for the good of those who love him. And that's doesn't necessarily mean that the answer to your prayers will be yes. He's working for your good to make you more like Jesus, to draw you closer to him and help you to grow and know and love him better. So my Heavenly Father, who created me and who knows me better than I know myself, knew what was best for me. He knew what he had planned so that I would grow to know and love him more, so that I would be able to serve him. He had a different plan for me, and he's never failed me. So even when his answers to my prayers, and there have been other ones that he said no to as well, have been a firm no, he's never failed me, and I know he never will, and he won't fail you either. So we have to remember those truths in the Bible about who God is, because he is completely trustworthy.
Thank you so much, Sam.
that's really great. And I'm very conscious that prayer is a huge subject, and we've only covered kind of a small area of it, really. There's so much more we can say. And some massive truths as well we've talked about tonight. So if there's anything that you still are unsure about or you have any questions about, do come and see me or one of the other leaders or Jen too, and feel free to ask any questions. But we're going to break into groups now and discuss a scenario which is up here. So you have a family member who's seriously unwell, and you pray to God that they're healed. And then a few months later, they sadly die. So I want you to discuss in groups, what have we learnt about God that can help us understand why this prayer is not the answer we wanted? And what should our reaction be to him? So if you're a 21 girl, so that's years 7 to 9, then you're in here. And if you're a 42 boy and a 21 boy, you're going to be together with AJ and Dave in here.
And
Chris. With Chris. And if you're a 42 girl, then you're with Steph and Jen and Alex in room 1. So yeah, do discuss these questions. And then afterwards, you can spend a bit of time praying together. So do spend time. But they're on your sheet, so I'll leave the discussion question up. And off you go. Enjoy. Thank you.